Welcome to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues, a weekly program discussing issues of concern to the family and those who hold traditional family values in Pennsylvania and our nation. Archives of these programs can be heard at www.afafpa.org. And now, your host, Diane Gramley, State Director of American Family Association of Pennsylvania.
Title IX has been around for 40 years. It passed in 1972 and requires gender equity for boys and girls in every educational program that receives federal funding. According to the Title IX.info website, it has been the subject of over 20 proposed amendments, reviews, Supreme Court cases, and other political actions. That's why we call it a living, breathing law, unquote. The website goes on and says it is puzzling why there have been so many attempts to change Title IX since the intent of the law, gender equity, has not been met. Thousands of schools across the country are not in compliance with the law. Again, this is according to the Title IX.info website. But what is next, what the federal government, I believe, is behind all this, what they're pushing, is very troubling. My guest today is Matt Barber, who's the Associate Dean, and also an Assistant Professor of Law for the online programs at Liberty University School of Law. I cannot say that word that you're assistant professor of. What's the first word in front of that?
Actually, assistant adjunct professor.
That's the word.
Okay.
I get that somewhere. That's some reason that word can't come out of my mouth properly. So, anyway, you're with the Liberty University School of Law. How long has the Liberty University School of Law been around?
We are in our 10th year, and going strong, and I'm actually the dean over the online programs.
Okay, the dean over the online program. Okay. Do you see the law, just out of curiosity, do you see the online programs with the School of Law expanding, growing?
We are, yes. In fact, we're developing new courses, an LLM program and a Juris Master's program and some other courses. We currently have a Master's of Arts in Public Policy, a paralegal program, and all of that, of course, supplements the law school's residential Juris Doctorate program. So.
Wow, that's fantastic. Back on November 28th, an article that you wrote appeared on the WorldNet Daily website, WND.com. And the article is entitled, Radical Leftists Now Endangering Female Athletes. Now, a couple of weeks ago, we had Linda Harvey on. We're talking specifically about the Minnesota case, where Minnesota has changed their law to where they will allow boys and girls, on girls' sports teams. And, you know, what do you think is behind all this? I mean, you wrote the article about the radical leftists endangering female athletes. Who's behind this? Personally, I think the federal government's behind it, but what do you think?
Well, in large part, yes. The Obama administration and Eric Holder had already really twisted, clearly twisted the meaning of Title IX, of Title VII, also of the 1964 Civil Rights Act, to somehow say, you know, they've been trying to ram through ENDA, the Employment Non-Discrimination Act, so-called, in order to garner special rights to cover people based upon their sexual proclivities, so-called sexual orientation, or their so-called gender identity or gender expression. We're talking about transgender people, a man who feels like he's actually a woman trapped in a man's body and so forth. So it's all nonsense, and it's in order to do away with the binary male-female compatibility that is inherent within humanity, that is the way God created it. But so this Obama administration has perverted the meaning of gender discrimination or sex discrimination to apply to people based upon their sexual temptations and behaviors or based upon their transgendered feelings. So, and instead of their actual biological sex. You can't discriminate against somebody based because they're female or because they're male. Well, that was the clear intent of both when Title IX was created. That was a clear intent of Title VII and others.
Yeah, that's back when we understood what male and female was. Now, obviously, we don't understand this.
Right. as liberals do, as progressives do, when you don't like the way that a law turns out or when you don't like what something means, you just take the term and you apply a different meaning to it. So you can't change the word and the reality and the definition. So you just say it means something that it doesn't mean. So that's what they've done here. And with Title IX, the Obama administration has been encouraging high school organizations, coupled with the National Federation of State High School Associations, which is an Indianapolis-based organization that since 1920 has published the rules for high school sports in all 50 states, the District of Columbia. So they've been pushing this notion that Title IX also covers sexually confused kids and requires somehow that high schools across the country must allow boys who are pretending to be girls to play girls' sports and vice versa. And not only that, but allow them to share the showering facilities. You can't treat them any different. So we're talking about high school boys pretending to be girls showering alongside your daughters in the high school locker rooms. And so this is absolute insanity. We have lost our minds as a nation, but this is what the NFHS has been pushing.
Yeah, my understanding, and I went to their website, and this is from their website, that they publish playing rules in 16 sports for boys and girls competition and administer fine arts programs in speech, theater, debate, and music. I don't know how those two are connected, but anyway, those are connected, but they think so. Says that the website goes on also says it provides a variety of program initiatives that reach the 18,500 high schools and over 11 million students involved in athletic and activity programs. So with what they are doing, what they've issued, this is impacting 11 million American students. 11 million.
Yeah.
It's mind-boggling. I mean, how are parents supposed to react to this?
Well, parents have reacted and have been up in arms. You look in, you mentioned the case in Minnesota, for instance,
right,
where my good friend Renee Doyle and her organization, the Child Protection League,
right,
Action, fought a similar policy change that was occurring there in Minnesota, and the parents overwhelmingly were up in arms protesting what they were about to do. Now, there was nothing really in effect. They just issued an advisory to others, to schools in Minnesota, saying you should allow, and then they couched it in such a way that it sounds like Title IX requires it. That's what the NFHS has done as well. They hired this member of the NHS, a radical leftist named Pat Griffin, a lesbian activist who is has her PhD in social justice, if that tells you anything. And social justice, of course, is a euphemism for socialism or in cultural Marxism. She's a radical sexual anarchist. She wrote an advisory that was just chock full of lies. She said effectively that Title IX requires schools to allow boys to play in girls' sports, girls to play in boys' sports, and so forth. It's a bald-faced lie, yet she's been allowed to get away with it, and the NFHS has published on its website as its advisory, as its policy, effectively, her rantings in this advisory that she drafted, an advisory, incidentally, in which she says that it's important to note that transgender girls, and that means boys, they talk in code, transgender girls are not boys. And that's a quote which is absolutely,
ludicrous.
Utterly so far detached, yeah, from reality that you know, the woman needs therapy. But unfortunately,
okay, she's from the university, I mean, graduated from the university, or works with the University of Massachusetts, so that in itself explains her mentality.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, it's crazy. You know, I don't know, I just cannot wrap my mind around the idea and how someone can view this as normal, no matter how many letters or what kind of letters she has after her name. She's a Looney Tune. You know, she's just crazy. And what kind of, back to the federal government, isn't some of this coming from the Department of Education or the DOJ's Office of Civil Rights? Did they issue some kind of declaration? Maybe it was the DOE's Office of Civil Rights, some kind of statement to schools that kind of also validated this idea that boys who think they're girls can also be viewed as girls and allowed to, you know, they're trying to break down all barriers between the sexes.
Yeah, of course they are. And that's not surprising because Barack Obama himself is a radical pro-homosexual activist and has hired those people with that same ideology to be in these positions. And the Department of Education, yes, has been pushing the same nonsense under the Obama administration. And there are a number of political appointees. So even when there are Republicans or conservatives in the White House, these federal agencies have become so overrun with radical leftists that it's almost inherent within the organizations themselves now, and that's part of the strategy. But yeah, so the DOE has been pushing this. The Eric Holder and the Department of Justice issued a memo to all of, and President issued an executive order essentially saying that for all federal employees and federal contractors, any Christian business, anybody who has a contract with the federal government must buy into this gender identity nonsense. And in fact, if they don't hire cross-dressers or so forth, even based upon their values, their religious values, that the federal government will discriminate against Christian companies, not do business with them, not contract with them. So this is, but this all boils down, Diane, as I know you know, to this is, there's nothing new under the sun. This is just a stark rebellion against God. His design for humanity, God, in, you know, in the beginning, God made them male and female, and man has been lashing back, and God's design for binary sexual compatibility within the bonds of marriage. This is all rebellion against that. It's an anything-goes, morally relative mentality that is fully ingrained and deeply seated and rooted in our federal government.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. Yeah, there's actually a case going on in eastern Pennsylvania, in Berks County, with a Cabela's store, and they had hired a transgender individual, a man who thinks he's a woman. And it was back in March this year, that the Federal Equal Employment Opportunity Commission decided that Cabela's had discriminated against this individual because they had asked him to use, rather than use the women's restroom, which he wanted to do, they had asked him to basically go down the hall or go to the other side of the store and use the unisex bathroom. And in the eyes of this individual, this was discriminatory and made him feel like a second-class citizen, so he sued. So the EEOC ruled that a Cabela's had discriminated. It's the same mentality. You know, we have schools like up in Maine, didn't their Supreme Court up there just recently ruled that schools had to allow boys who think they're girls into the girls' restrooms and such as that? I mean, where does it end?
And it's not just restrooms. I mean, we're talking about, in as this becomes more and more public policy and municipalities around the country and so forth, you were talking about YMCAs. You have the famous case, of course, in Washington State, where at a college, at a local college in Washington, a man who identifies as transgender as a woman, who incidentally calls himself a transgender lesbian, meaning he's sexually attracted to women, was walking around fully nude, sprawling out naked in the sauna in front of girls as young as 6 years old. When they tried to have him removed, the police came and said, oh, no, he's allowed to be here. He's indicated that he's transgender. Fully biological male, fully the whole bit. A 17-year-old girl complained. She was shocked. She was traumatized. So, you know, forget the rights of little girls not to be sexually harassed, and of course the potential for sexual assault here is tremendous. Forget their rights not to be sexually harassed. Forget the right to privacy of the women in the department store that you mentioned. Mm-hmm. Not to have a man walk in while they have a natural right to privacy in a restroom setting. Forget about their rights. Forget about that. All of that. This is called tyranny of the minority. It's all of us having to change reality and all join in on a delusion that a man can be a woman or vice versa, under penalty of law.
So, you know, we have an administration who's pushing this, and it's not just, you know, it's coming from the top, but as you're saying, all these federal agencies have been infiltrated by the same like-minded individuals, you know, whether there's a good percentage. I won't say they're all of that mindset, but there's a high percentage who view this because, you know, that's who they are. They're liberals. So let's just pretend that in 2016, a Republican does gain the White House. Can he throw them all out and start over? A vast majority of federal employees and replace them with those who have some sanity?
Well, yeah. Many of the highest level positions are political appointments,
right,
meaning that they're not necessarily hired employees of the mm-hmm. federal government. You can start there, and frankly, the next president, now would a rhino Republican, an establishment Republican do that? No, yeah. they're many of them are socially, they're liberals to begin with as well. Yeah. Jeb Bush mm-hmm. or Mitt
Chris
Romney,
Christie,
you know.
Chris Christie, yeah.
Yeah, Chris Christie. I'm not going to hold my breath for one of them to do the right thing here. But if we get a Ted Cruz or a Mike Huckabee or, mm-hmm. just to name a couple in there, the first thing I think they should do is just say null and void from at this point every single executive order that Barack Obama signed, just so they don't get accused of, oh, you're doing this executive. They need to just wipe the slate. We are going to wipe the slate of all executive orders that this president signed. Do away with all of those policies. The next thing they should do is get rid of every single political appointment in the federal government that was not appointed by a like-minded conservative Republican, and then change the policies within. They need to change the policies to reflect the actual intent of the legislators when they passed the laws that govern these administrative offices are supposed to operate under, and we have to get back to our checks and balances and the proper constitutional separation of powers rather than having everything ruled by executive fiat under a tyrant like Barack Obama.
Well, let's just pray that there's someone out there who has the courage to run and that they would win and be able to do that. Because I don't know if our country can sustain much more of these attacks. When we have a generation of kids who are currently in public school, who are being told that there is no male, female, you are whoever you feel like you are, and it's okay if these biological males are in the girls' restroom or shower room, and that's perfectly okay. You know, I just don't understand. It's very frustrating. I know it is frustrating for you too, to think that we've come down this road, and like you're saying, it's the sin issue. You know, we're rebelling against God, and this is a primary way to do that, is to restructure his nature, and it's just very appalling that we have two political parties who are in many cases, you know, compliant with the whole or just not willing to stand up against the tyranny and do what's right. And
yeah.
I know parents are frustrated. I know American citizens, the average American citizen is frustrated. And, you know, there are more and more of these lunacy policies being thrown out there. And it's just very frustrating. And college professors like this individual, this lesbian at the University of Massachusetts being tagged or, used to issue policy recommendations. Anyway, so is there anything that we can do? You know, if I know we need to get involved politically, and if there's a good candidate running for president in 2016, we need to support that. Beyond that, as a parent, and if you have a child in a situation like this, what can a parent do? You know, the parents in Minnesota stood up and fought it, and apparently to no avail. I think it was unanimous or close to unanimous.
There was one abstention. Okay. One abstention.
Okay,
yeah, 18. I believe it was 18 yes upvotes and one abstention. Yeah, and what parents can do is there's strength in numbers. They can find other like-minded parents that are outraged and go to the board, the school board meetings, go to the PTA meetings, go demand an appointment with the at the school administrators at the highest levels and make their voice be heard. That's one thing they can do. Obviously, voting is another. You mentioned there are legal recourses available. I know that we are looking in Minnesota at potential lawsuits this is a trampling of the rights of young girls in high school. It cuts down on their opportunities because bigger, stronger. It puts them at risk injury. It puts them at risk for injury. And so forth. So there are lawsuits being looked at. That's another option. And the big one, I believe right now that the United States is a nation under judgment. We have rebelled against God as a matter of public policy. And a nation that does that is not long for the world. But if we, the people, turn our faces back to God and repent on behalf of our nation, because this is a nation that is governed by we, the people. We don't have it looks like we have a dictator right now, but we don't. We are the sovereign in this nation, so it's up to us to turn this nation back toward God and back toward the policies and the principles of our founding.
Absolutely. Now, do you think that all the schools in the nation, we have 500 school districts in Pennsylvania, do you think that all the school districts in the nation will be, apparently this organization in Indianapolis has like oversight over all the school districts, so the National Federation of State High School Associations, will they be sending letters to all the school districts in the nation to be in compliance of what they're saying is now the new definition of Title IX?
I suspect, now this information came to me from an employee of a school district who is a sports announcer who was shocked when this advisory was passed out to everyone within the school district. So it sounds to me like they've already canvassed the entire nation and sent this fallacious advisory to everyone. So unfortunately, there are many school districts in more liberal and blue areas of the country that will gladly comply. There are many that are kind of cowardly, even in the South and elsewhere, that are being bullied into compliance. And then, of course, the ones that stand up boldly are going to be targeted for all kinds of attacks. But we need, there is strength in numbers, and we need a mass revolt against this kind of anti-child, anti-God, anti-reality public policy that is being rammed down the throats of the American people.
Absolutely. So we need to contact citizens here in Pennsylvania, parents here in Pennsylvania, let them know what's going on, and possibly write a letter to the schools to say you've been lied to, something like
yeah.
that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a great place to start.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, how can folks contact you?
Well, my website is barbwire.com, barbwire.com.
Tell us about that. Tell us about barbwire.com.
Sure. Well, it's barbwire is a news and information and opinion site from a distinctly Judeo-Christian perspective. We have tons of analysis, over 100 of the nation's top conservative and Christian contributors writing for the site, and I'm the editor-in-chief, of course, and it's almost a year old. We'll be on February 8th, we'll have our one-year anniversary, and it's just taken off in the last year like gangbusters. I think the nation is thirsting for analysis on the news and the culture from a biblical perspective that does not bend to the dictates of political correctness in the slightest.
Absolutely, and I know the liberals love it. I've read some of the comments there.
Oh, yeah.
So folks can contact you through barbwire.com?
Absolutely. They can send us an email right through there. They can contact me through there, and our webmaster will forward me the email. And yes, absolutely.
Okay, fantastic. I do encourage folks to go to barbwire.com and check out the various articles, because they are very in-depth articles, and they're just fantastic. And also check with your school district, see if they've received a letter from this radical organization that unfortunately has been around since 1920. I can't imagine the folks in 1920 who started this organization. I can't imagine what they would think now if they were seeing what's taking place and the recommendations that their organization is throwing out to the schools. Anyway, Matt, thanks so much for being with us. I appreciate it. And you and your family have a Merry Christmas.
Thank you very much, Diane, and Merry Christmas to you and yours as well.
Okay, you take care.
You too.
You have been listening to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues. If you would like to get involved in the efforts to defend traditional values in Pennsylvania, please contact the AFAFPA by writing to Post Office Box 1048, Franklin, Pennsylvania, 16323, or by visiting their website at www.afafpa.org.